Blog Talk Radio.
Open eyes that we may see.
It's a new day, it's a new life.
lies or having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world in a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel.
And fit with his lying self. and this is what America say. I'm gonna play this in, but I got to say, we got a serious problem. Every alderman on that committee needs to go. Because they're not standing up for the community, they're standing up for them. If it's a dollar for the liquor license, they do it. If it's a dollar for where they can get a cabin in the store, get a liquor license, a grocery store, they'll take the money. They don't meet the black community. That in all these contracts, this building's going on, eight wars, in the seven wars, man, they ain't asking people, the alderman getting the money in the back door. So they just putting buildings up. And that's what happened in Pullman. What's happening in Pullman? Where are the jobs at in Pullman? For the people that live there, it ain't happening. The black car, which we call, the black car is the black whip-all of Chicago. There's no way that Inglewood, London should be in this shape if these black politicians that sit down City Hall getting their back to try to help the community. And they're gonna come after all what happened. We had to work a whole year to make a manual to do the tape. Going back down, shot 16 times. Somebody's got paid. Somebody's got paid. Even his uncle say it's all right to run manual to be the ambassador. No, you tell me you can't find nobody better than Ron Manchin, and ain't been lying to people for a whole year. Obama put him in there, and a lot of people undercover support him. A lot of congressmen support him. That don't make it right. That don't make it right. It's a slap in black folks' face. It's a slap in racism and white supremacy. And this is what Malcolm said about it. And I believe it. I want to say, Malcolm, you ain't little slave, you go right down to the City Hall today. You got the house trying to cover up the Akaton, trying to cover up the master. What happened? And black ministers don't want to say nothing. Black politicians, it's Trump, and ain't nobody saying nothing. So the people get the wrong deal.
The first question in this book. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. Back to your Rockford Rising Back. This is this book. This book of black history readers. 101 questions which you never thought you'd have. See what I did. My estimation, this book is so extraordinarily accomplished when it examines the issue of blacks in this country from the beginning of time of this country until now. That is almost as if, I've got to stay away from thinking any one thing is a panacea. But this book right here, let me start here. The black history reader, 101 questions you thought you'd never ask, provide answers and solutions to how and why black people have been assigned to the lowest level of America's ranking order of social and economic acceptability. Now, when I read, I was like, well, that's a very broad statement. That's a tall order. That's a high challenge there. Then I read the book. It was like, it absolutely asks and provides answers and solutions. I want you to be aware of this book. I want folks to be aware. Then, since today, American Times is covering all the issues of the Confederacy, slavery, immigration, and a myriad of issues on race and racism. And it asks the question, why race such an enduring problem? Your answer.
But it's the fact that it's the third rail in American society. Nobody wants to touch it. Because it touches all of a sudden 500 years in this country. Because now it's been almost 100% of all this nation's resources. That's all the land, the wealth, one hand to deliver everything of value in the country with mouths committed into everybody's hands is that black vote. Black vote have been locked in one only one half of 1% of anything of value in this country now for over 460 years. It is impossible in comparative theoretical terms of black to be a competitive people. Can't be done. You can't make it over one half. 1% in a nation that has come it is a competitive society where people compete. It can't compete where they can compete with. You ask the probing question. How is it that civil rights, the black civil rights era, more than the intended beneficiary black? For a very simple reason, and that is to inherit it well.
Talk about
black folks' rights. You cannot. The 13th Amendment, came into existence after the Civil War. It says very clearly, Ron, that his mandate that black folks be treated in all matters similar to white discrimination. Now, but see, with immigration policies and bringing in immigrants only negatively impact black folks, not impact anybody else. Black folks are the only injured party by immigration. If you go to the 14th Amendment, the 14th Amendment says that black, remember the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, don't place a risk for black folks. That black folks must have due process and equal protection of the law. If black folks are only being negatively impacted by immigration, you're violating their 14th Amendment. There should be all kind of laws right now raised by black folks. And then the civil rights law of 1865, 1866 says very specifically, Ross, that every level of government is mandated to use all necessary means to lift the badges and incidents of slave off the shoulders of black folks. Now, that here you are bringing in all these immigrants over black folks. And here's what you do when you bring them all into black folks. You do the same thing they did in 1790 when they brought in all these immigrants. You bring in millions of immigrants over black folks from Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Northern Europe. You brought them in over black folks. If you bring in immigrants, here's what happens. You got black folks that are branded. They don't get any benefits for being living in the country because they're branded as being slaves. They get zero benefits. Now, they're not immigrants. Now, watch what's on the other side. Now, when immigrants come in, watch the benefits they get. They go past black folks at 200 miles an hour. And that's why in all these cities, in Chocolate City, they do better right here in Chocolate City. Now, they're underneath the immigrants. Immigrants, they come in the country, they get a point over black folks for being an immigrant. Blacks are the only non-immigrants. Two, they classified, all of them classified as white. In Asia, Hispanic, they all been reclassified as white. Even American Indians, back in the 1890s, became classified as white. They get a point. They get over black folks and getting access to resources and benefits. The third thing they get the benefits of being put into a minority category. They're classified as minorities over black folks. Thirdly, they come in with a culture and they establish a culture and they can now build businesses and industries that relate back to their homeland. And lastly, what they can do, they also bring in their religious aspect and business opportunities for their people. Black folks get nothing. And they can come in and take and dominate black folks. That's why right now black folks have been buried as an underclass. That's why in this black labor, black history leader, you look at the second question, it's going to show you that the last statistics that came out from the United States Department of Labor says that everybody's over black folks. Black folks have not moved one iota in 150 years. They're still on the bottom, underneath the society and outside of it.
You said something earlier where you said that you talked about native black. And so that clearly sounds what delineating native black versus someone that comes here from Jamaica or wherever they mean that they may come from, that's black.
That's right.
And the purpose of that, because you're on the surface, you'll be like, hey, everybody here that's black is treating me a certain way. Why are you making that delineation?
That is an excellent point. Because you see, those people coming in from Jamaica or coming in from Africa, they have not been treated like black folks in this country. That's the first thing. And secondly, historical experience. They cultural aspects from Africa. They can go back in the time they want. But the black people in this country have not been exceptional. Nobody's been treated maltreated like this. Black folks accept they're the only people that came here out of one. Two, they're the only people that denied their humanity. Three, they were the only people denied a right that people enjoy the fruits of their labor. Four, they were the only people denied the right to participate in government. Five, they were the only people denied the right to vote. Six, they were the only people denied the right to have an education. Seven, they were not the only people denied the right to have a business. Eight, they were the only people that participated in every war that this country had since its founding, but whose mother country never been against this country. All the immigrants come from countries where they fought America, and they came in. And they are the oldest and most patriotic people in the country. Not the Confederate South, they're not the most patriotic people waving the Confederate flag. The most patriotic people in this country are black people, native black people. Because 99% of all those black people have been direct descendants
that bamboozled the trick because the initial decision, the suit that was filed, which you all might call social integration, the civil rights movement, was filed in Clinton, South Carolina. And what those black folks filed for, they filed for desegregation. And when it desegregation means we don't have the what Anderson talked about. We don't control those resources. We don't have any resources. And so what was happening in McClellan, South Carolina back in 1948, when that lawsuit was filed, no black kids were walking to school in a dirt road in the rain and snow without any school. They when they got to school, they didn't have the same privileges in those schools. Like in North Carolina, I was from South Carolina, North Carolina, where we spent the first week of school every year cleaning up old textbooks, old materials, and getting stuff to cover to the white. Whites had all the new material, they got all the fabric, all the machinery, technology. We got a few broken down and had to pick it up. First week of school, to figure ways to clean up the table. The white kids had swimming pools in their school. We didn't have swimming pools. We just had to go down the dam up the street and swim. And so the worst part was that the state was giving something like about $12 for every white child to go to school, but only $1.50 for a black child to go to school.
Every white coming to the country, to pick up the country, to get money.
500. Because if you're down, you're down the chicken chain. Because black folks still confuse income with wealth. That's the difference. That's a major difference. Go to PG County, all those blacks that left Washington sold their houses for chicken chain. What's with PG County? Look at what happened over there. Over there. Over there. That you have the highest concentration of educated blacks in America living in PG County. You have the highest concentration of wealthy black folks in PG County. I go to PG County and guess who will run all the businesses and all the stores? Immigrants. And over there, kids in less than 35 years now got five times the wealth base of blacks in PG County, where you got the highest concentration of blacks in the United States as well. Educated. They still get to be still on the bottom.
Let's get into a little bit, and then we brought you on that also. But in terms of now the policies that are coming out of this government regarding, you talked about, for example, several things, but let's just deal with health care.
Well, health care, there's a direct link between having health care. We have good health and having money. That's the biggest connection. I know for about 6 or 7 straight years, Wayne St. Louis Medical School in Washington, he was invited me to come in. That he don't speak for the health commission. I'm not a medical doctor. Yeah, but Dr. Evans, you're the only person in the country that speaks in relation to wealth and having good health. It's most black people in the country who can't afford insurance, can't afford to buy the Medicare, can't afford to buy the food. You don't have the money, you're going to be going to suffer. You're the only person who can tell us you've got to have the wealth and power and to be able to afford the necessary things you have to have a comfortable life and a healthy lifestyle. And I think that's why so I was right now, we've got a poverty rate in the United States where 38% of the black folks are in the poverty line, 36% of all the black children are in the poverty line. How do you expect them to be healthy? How do you expect them to have to take care of them, but see everything else, and they get physical injuries. And so they don't have the basic tools. And nobody makes an issue out of it.
Yeah.
And so consequently, you cannot have a healthy body and a healthy mind if you have no money.
Describe your thoughts, your feelings about the presidency of Barack Obama as it relates to black Americans. And we were just talking about health care. What is sort of one of his signature initiatives? Affordable care. Was that something that was foundationally correct to help, obviously, everybody in the country, but especially black people who could perhaps benefit the universal health care, or is establishing that another form of what you described earlier, black folks say?
I'm not that knowing all the intricacies of the obvious health care. But he could have done some other things that could have balanced that out. Focus on science, what Martin Luther King should have focused on, redistributing some resources to black folks' hands so they begin to acquire a better lifestyle. And that's the problem. It's not civil rights, it's not social equation that determines the quality of life.
argue some of your analysis. If you were part of much of what you're talking about, you wrote it in opposite reality. Given that that's the case, let's please start this. We can't leave here without hope. You know, start thinking about what you as a veteran observer, economist, someone who has paid attention to this from this art.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite. And it's alluded, there are several things to do here. First of all, Black folks need to understand what you're saying. That they are in a deep dark hole. Okay, and then locked in that deep dark dark hole by but some institutions. The first institution in the United States Constitution. That's got to block the box. And nobody's ever raised any issue about the United States Constitution.
And so I'm going to ask you, because you talk about it in the book. They ain't got to buy your book. You made me go to the lot. They need to read your book. This book needs to be read, people. You talk about the Constitution.
So I talk a little bit about the art now.
Right. Give us a little bit of that, and then we want to come back and talk about it.
Okay, good. And see, the doctor said the Constitution was written to be the first affirmative action plan in the United States. But nobody understands it. It's an affirmative action plan for whites, okay? And what they're saying is that these people, and we're going to make sure these people are locked in box. And we're going to build this Constitution based on two things. We're going to use a whole body of people to convince us, make comfort to us, and at the same time, we're going to talk about everybody has an equal opportunity. We're in the land of freedom, but we're going to push these people down. They're not going to have any freedom. And so before they threw the Constitution up, it's that was
told.
Those who had bought, those that That's because we have a black vote.